What is a church? A church is a worship centre and a training school. We come together to worship God and to be trained that we may serve Him in our lives. Church is not a business to make anybody rich. The church is not a hotel or a holiday camp to relax in whilst others serve us. It is a training school to learn how to serve and then to go out that we may serve. Now the Gospel of Mark, we've seen, has two halves to it. First, we are shown that Jesus of Nazareth is the true Messiah. Mwana wa Mungu. Ambaye aliingia duniani kufa kwa zambi za watu wake. But then in the second half we learn what kind of Messiah. Not a Messiah who came to be a king in Jerusalem and to conquer the nations with war, but he's a Messiah who came to suffer, who came for the cross, who came to die for his people and to rise again. And in that second part, it teaches us also how to serve him. Kama kuwa wanafunzi wa Kristo huyu. How to follow him. And we've been seeing that if we would follow the Messiah who went to the cross, sisi pia lazima tuende njia ya msalaba. We've met Jesus speaking about children already a couple of times. Chapter 9, verse 35, verse 36. The way to be great as a Christian is to be a servant. The way higher is to go lower. He took a child, it says. And he said, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but my Father who sent me. When we serve children, then we truly serve Christ, because they won't pay us anything for it. They won't give us something back. We won't get some favour from them. We won't get some return from them. But then we're really serving. When we're serving for nothing, except because we long to please Christ, we're really serving Christ then. Chapter 9, verse 42. Jesus said, these little ones who believe in me, don't cause them to stumble. Don't lead them the wrong way. It would be better for you. The result will be better for you if you are thrown into the sea with a heavy weight tied to you than the awful things that God will do to you if you stop these little ones from progressing in his kingdom. And this theme of children is with us again in verses 13 to 16. Again, we see the disciples so slow to learn. And those who teach the church must be ready for many, sadly, to learn slowly and to cause grief. But those who learn in the church, oh, we must be encouraged not to be slow, but all that we hear to obey, to do, to go on, not to be a grief to our Saviour or to the teachers he sent us. Well, in verses 13 and 14, we see what made Jesus angry. What made Jesus angry? So the situation was this. Palikua wazazi ambao walikua wakileta watoto wao. Walileta kwamba Yesu aliwaguse, that he should bless them, and that he should pray for them. What would your reaction then be? You know, Jesus is doing a great deal of work. He's tired. He's got many enemies. He's been moving from one part of the country to another. Now these parents are bringing the children just that Jesus should touch them, and tells us in another gospel that he should pray for them. Would you say, hey, now please, keep them away, you know, He's tired now, that he's important, he's got a lot of work to do. Please, let's just give him some room. Give him some space now. Would you think that way? Because that's worldly thinking. You know, the world says, well, how big are these people? How important? How rich and how powerful are they? And the world, it measures by what it can see and what it can count. How big are the church's buildings? How much influence is it beginning to get amongst the people who matter? How well known are we? And that's worldly thinking. And Jesus' kingdom does not work that way. How many of us would be here if Jesus' kingdom worked that way? How many of you are big enough, important enough, rich enough that the Son of God should take notice in you? None of us. The gospel, you see, is good news for the poor. It's good news for the lowly. Because the Son of God came so low. He went lower than any man in order that he can lift us up at last to heaven. So how are you thinking today? What is your thinking about the kingdom of God? Yesu aliviona vitu hivi. And he was indignant. See the word in verse 14, indignant. That word means he was displeased within himself. He was unhappy. There was some anger at what was being done. His heart was moved by it. Here the Bible shows us some of Jesus' feelings, because it teaches us that he was a true man. That as a man on earth, he had tiredness. He had joy as a man, and sometimes he had anger and displeasure. I wonder what makes you angry? What upsets you? What causes you to be indignant? Because with Jesus, it was the kingdom of God. And it was the honor and the glory of God that angered him. Can you remember when you were angry this week? You said something too quickly. What was it? Was it the honour of God? Was it the service of God that was being distorted, perverted? Or was it the kingdom of you? The kingdom of your dreams and your desires? What you had planned was being turned some other way. Well, with Jesus, it was that God's ways were going wrong. And you see, Jesus rejects this worldly thinking which says, how big, how rich, how powerful. And he said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I wonder, are you serving the small people? Are you serving those whom the world thinks are not important? Don't say, oh, there's nothing for me to do. There's no one I can serve, you know. I just live with small people. I live in houses of people who have nothing, and they're nothing in the politics or in the town. So what can I do in the kingdom of Jesus? No, don't speak like that. If you know people, then you know people who can be served. If you have family, if you have neighbours, if you have a place of work, then there you can serve. Don't say, nobody's watching. God is watching. Jesus says, let the little people come to me. The kingdom of God is made of them. When God made man, he made man in the image of God. All people everywhere are made in the likeness of God. All people can know God, can serve God. All of them. And we're equal in that. It's not that some are more in the image of God and some less. Now the image of God is seen more clearly as we become more like Jesus. The ruin of sin, as the trouble that sin has caused, is gradually reduced as we learn to be holy, as we become more like Christ. Well, the image of God is seen more clearly. But we are all made equally in the image of God. And so, whoever you serve, whether it's the boy with no home, whether it's the girl who's living on the streets, whether it's the man with no legs, who's lost them somehow, whoever it is, they're all made in the image of God. And this is how we must then serve. Don't say, is he big? Is he powerful? No, say, has God made him? Yes. Does God have a concern for him? Yes. Can I please God by serving him? Yes. And so that's what we do. We find people, we serve them. We don't ask, how big are they? We serve them. It made Jesus angry to see this worldly thinking with his disciples. When he's the Son of God and he'd come down to serve them, who were they? They're fishermen. Yet he came from heaven to spend his time with those 12. So we should be the same. Now in verse 15, we learn a second thing. We learn quite clearly what you must do to be saved. And this is quite serious. Jesus, actually what he says in verse 15 is, Amen, I say to you. And it's a way of saying, this is serious. In English we might say, mark my words, or take note. It's something solemn to draw attention. And he speaks about salvation. He speaks about entering the kingdom of God. There are many kingdoms in this world, but they're all weak and they're all falling away. The great kingdoms of history, they're just history. You read about them in books, but the Roman Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Greek Empire, they're all history. And all the kingdoms of this world will soon be history. But God is setting up his kingdom, which will never pass away and which will never be defeated. Where God is loved, God is served, where God is known. Have you entered that kingdom? Do you know God? Do you love him and serve him as your king? Is God the king of your heart, the king of your life? That's where God's kingdom is, and it's growing in the world. But you see, this kingdom must be, to use the word in verse 15, must be received. It is a gift, a free gift to sinners. You cannot earn your way into the kingdom. You cannot work your way into God's favor. You can never do enough to earn salvation. You come to church every week. You read your Bible every day. You're always giving something to the offering. Maybe you're serving somehow in the church. But even if you do every work of service, you're still a sinner in Adam. You're still a fallen human being. You're still corrupt in your heart. You still need to be washed inside and saved inside and made a new person. You see, if you read all your Bible every day, if you give every shilling to the church, if you are faithful in all the meetings every week, well, what's that like? It's like you've got some old wreck of a car and you just put some new paint, some colourful paint on it, but the engine's broken, the tyres are burst, the body is rusted, the whole thing's broken down, but you put some good paint on it. I was in a shop in Eldoret this week and they had a photo of this car. Have you heard of this? It was in the papers. Somebody gave it a certificate that it was fitted with a proper speed governor and then it was fit to be used as a taxi. But it was totally broken down. It was a wreck. Nobody had driven it for years. Trying to be a Christian by your own works. You like that car. You've got some certificate that you've come up with that says, yes, I'm good. But you're useless. You won't get there because underneath you're ruined. All you can earn is God's judgment. That's the only thing you can earn from God as your mishahara, kwa sababu tena na tena umesema hapana Mungu, hapana Mungu. Na utasema tena ukiweza kupata something. You know, that if there's some situation in your life, can you really tell me? I'll obey God every time. Even if it hurts, even if it brings you trouble, if it makes you poor. You're telling me you'll always say, yes, God, I'll obey you? Surely you know your heart. That when there's two roads, again and again, tumesema hapana Mungu, not this time. We can only receive salvation because we can't earn it. And how do we receive it? Jesus says, verse 15, kama mtoto mdogo. That's the way. Because what can a child repay you with? No. And it says, little child, verse 15, what will a little child do for you? You give them some food or some money. Will they do a day's labor for you on the building site? Will they come and dig in your shamba? No, a little child can only receive and say, thank you, thank you. And that's how sinners are saved. The little child can't come and say, don't you know who I am? Don't you know my power and my glory? Because they're small, and as yet they're nothing in the world. And that's how you receive salvation from Jesus. You say, Lord, like the hymn, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to your cross I cling. Naked I come to you for dress. That's how we receive salvation from Jesus. As a little child who brings nothing, but just says, thank you, Father. See, a little child receives humbly. They can't earn, they only receive. They come without pride, without self-will. A little child can't come and say, give me my rights. Give me what you must give me. Don't you know who I am? No, they can't come without pride or self-will. But they must receive trusting. We teach our children, and children, they believe what they're taught. As we tell them what's happening in the shamba or in the home or where we're traveling next week, they'll believe us. They don't think and say, hang on a minute, is this true? Let me go and ask someone else, see if Baba and Mama are telling me the truth. No, they believe it and they receive it. It's terrible to tell a child a lie. Terrible to lead a child the wrong way, because they will believe you. But that's how we're meant to be with God. He won't tell you any lies. God says, this is the way. Walk in it. God says, here's my gift, receive it. God says, here's the way to heaven through my Son, believing in his death on the cross. That's the way, he says. And we're to say, yes, Father, I believe you. I trust you. Without arguing, without complaining, without bargaining, negotiating, but saying, yes, Father. Watoto wetu, wanaweza kulala in peace, kila usiku. Kwa sababu, wanafikiri kwamba shida wote, well, that their parents are dealing with them, that the parents will sort the problems out, so they sleep well. Because they trust us that it's under control. That's how to trust God. That Baba anajua. Anajua vitu vyote. And we can trust him. That we don't lie away thinking, has God forgotten me? Does God not know my problems? Baba anajua. That's how we receive salvation. By trusting that he has done all. That when Jesus died and rose again, the whole price was paid. Satan was defeated. Death was overcome. And we trust him and we receive. Doing nothing, but just trusting Father to take care of our salvation because he already has in Christ. Children, or at least when they're behaving as they ought to, they obey without grumbling. They receive something from you and they obey without grumbling. Now, of course, children are fallen in Adam too, and often we have to teach them these things. But when they're as they ought, they obey without grumbling. They say, "Yes, Father, I'll do what you've said. Yes, Mama, that's the way. I'll go in it." That's how to come to Christ. Is that your faith? Is that how you relate to God? Is that how you are believing the gospel? You're simply trusting. You're not bargaining, you're not negotiating, you're not complaining, you're not grumbling. You're not trying to make yourself big. You're not trying to earn something. But just, "Father, as your child I come, and I thank you for Christ, the Saviour." The Bible teaches we should be childlike. Not childish. Let me explain. The Bible wants us to be mature. It wants us to grow in our salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 20 says, "In malice be children, but in your thinking be adults." Or, "In regard to evil be infants, but in thinking be adults." Another place it says, "Don't be like children, being blown around by every idea that you're taught." But it says, "Be strong, behave like men." So don't be childish. Grow to maturity as a Christian. But always, always be childlike. Simply trusting, receiving from God. Not complaining or seeking your own way. Finally, verses 14 and 16. Let's look more closely, more carefully, what Jesus says about children. What Jesus says about children. Verse 14, Anasema, "Bring them to me. Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them." Now that's a command. No. Little child, if you tell them to go to Kisumu, they won't know the way. They won't say, "I know the road, it's that one. And I get the matatu here, and I need to make sure I bring right amount of money, maybe 400 shillings. They won't know the way when it's a small infant. You need to carry them and take them and bring them to Kisumu. That's what we do with children in the church. We have to bring them to Jesus. Children's work, then, is very important. Don't say, "Why is the church spending so much time on children's clubs and Sunday schools? Why don't we try and target the big people? Why haven't we reached the mayor and the councillors?" No, the children need bringing. Bring them to the Bible. That means teach them. Open your Bible at home. Your children can't read until they've been taught. So first, you must be opening the Bible and bringing them. Teach them the songs. Teach them the catechism. They won't make their own songs. So you teach them. Bring them to Sunday school. Bring them to church. Don't have the worldly thinking that says, let us wait until they're 7. Let's wait till they're 11. Let's wait till they're 18. No. As soon as they understand anything you say, be speaking to them about the Lord, about the commandments, about the gospel. Bring them in prayers. Babies won't be praying for themselves. They're too young. They don't even know how to speak. But you can pray for them. This week I was asked the question, why should I tell my children if there's a baby coming? So if Mama's pregnant, why should I tell the ones who are already born? Well, the one who's not born can't pray for itself. Only those who are born can pray. Tell the children, tell everybody, so that we can pray for that little one. Bring them to the Lord in prayer. so that that one has been known by the Lord through your prayers from even before birth. Now, we are responsible to bring the children to Christ. They won't find the way themselves. They can't find their way until they've been taught. We are responsible. So, challenge you parents especially. What are you doing to bring your children to Christ? Don't think they'll go themselves. Bring them. But notice, Jesus said, bring them to me. He didn't say bring them to church, although that helps. He didn't say bring them to baptism. That won't do anything for them. He didn't say bring them to religion. He didn't say bring them to good behavior, that they be good little boys and girls, and so that they look right. No, he said bring them to me. That's salvation. Not that you come to church, come into the membership, come to baptism, come to do this or that. No, it's that you come to Jesus himself. Have you been to Jesus himself? Have you trusted the Lord? Have you pleaded with him to take away your sins? Pleaded with him? Come to him. That's where you find salvation. Not in your good works. Not in the church, as if the pastors will bring it out of some cupboard where we keep it. No, it's in Jesus himself. Have you come to him? Verse 16. Jesus took the children in his arms. So you see, even the very little ones. And the other Gospels use a word which particularly means little children, infants, and even babies. He brought them in his arms. He put his hands on them and he blessed them. Do you know, church is not just for adults. Church is not just for adults. Church is for all. And to come into the membership of the church is for all who love the Lord Jesus. Whether they're big, whether they're small, rich or poor, Jew or Gentile, whatever tribe, whatever nation, if they love the Lord Jesus, the church is for them. And children should grow as Christians inside the church, not outside of it. Don't think it's like politics, where, you know, you need to be an adult, you need to be reach the age where you can vote, you need to reach the age where you can have some influence. No, Jesus took the little children in his arms and blessed them. You children, you're old enough to know that you've done wrong. You're old enough to know that you've broken God's commandments. Sometimes you've been fighting. You told your parents lies. You haven't loved God with all your heart. Sometimes you've been angry. You're old enough to know you've done wrong. You're old enough to know too that Jesus forgives sinners. You're old enough to know that Jesus died on the cross, that whoever believes in him and him alone can be saved. You don't need to go to school to learn that. You don't need to be in university to understand these things. I was a 7-year-old boy when the Lord saved me and showed me that I just needed to trust his death on the cross. And I know many other people who are younger than 7. I know of one boy who says quite clearly that he knows he was saved when he was 4. The Lord can come into your life at any time. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit when he was in his mother's womb. Of course, a bit difficult to know that until he showed it to us later. Although, of course, the prophet has said so we knew, but we won't know with others. But children, come to the Lord. He wants you to come. He welcomes you. He wants to forgive your sins. His salvation is for you too. You don't have to do something great. You just have to trust him and ask him to forgive you. I hope we can see then, in Jesus' kingdom, there's a very different way of thinking. In Jesus' kingdom, there's one king only, and all the rest are servants. The pastor's not the king. The pastor should be the servant of the servants.
Jesus peke yake ni mfalme na watu wote wengine ni watumishi. Are you serving him? God asks if your service is something we can see and praise because it's big. But are you serving him? Parents, are you serving your children? All of us, are we serving the little people? The little people in this world. Because that is true Christian service. Is that your service?